Activating now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If the Jets go 2-0 to start the season, I will show up on that Monday show with a bottle of Opus One in between my legs like I'm LeBron James. In white pants.
Earlier on the show, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. Coming up, four-time WNBA champion, Sue Bird. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Sam Amick of The Athletic about the NBA Game 6 Western Conference Semifinal between the defending champion Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Last night he was there, watched the Timberwolves win by 45, the second biggest boat race in NBA playoff history of a team facing elimination. That actually happened to the defending champs last night. Albert Breer is going to join us in hour number three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Susie Schuster sitting in for Chris Brockman. Good to see you, Suze.
Happy to be seen.
I'm thrilled to see you. Good to see you, Jay Felly. Less thrilled to see you, but you understand.
No, that hurts a little.
No, it's okay. It shouldn't be. I mean, you're not my wife. You know,
but
so
you could
never
be.
Too late.
Oh gosh.
Oh wow.
Getting crazy in El Segundo, everybody. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson, candleslit for hour number two.
Rich, how you doing?
Live here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello, as always, to our podcast listeners. It's your right to listen whenever you darn well please. I last saw our next guest checking in for the Fanatics party at the Super Bowl. It was a delight to see her a couple times, ran into her a couple times at the Super Bowl, and thrilled now to have here on the Rich Eisen Show, four-time WNBA champion, five-time Olympic gold medalist. I could go on and on, but I just want to say hello to Sue Bird. How are you, Sue? Good to see you.
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's just jump straight into it here. The conversation surrounding Caitlin Clark, obviously, front and center for the WNBA season, even though she's on clearly one of the worst teams that a number one overall draft choice got drafted onto. But I'll just throw that in your direction. What have you seen over the first couple of games for her, Sue?
Yeah, not the best start. I'm sure she's feeling that right now. But that's part of adjusting to the WNBA, right? Maybe not having it happen this early, but part of professional sports is you're going to have some stretches that don't go your way. You're going to shoot bad. Your team's going to lose. And how do you respond to that? So I'm sure she would like those two games back. Everybody's clearly got their defensive game plan built around her, which is a compliment. But you got to figure it out from there.
Well, I mean, when you first arrived on the scene up in Seattle, what were you facing coming out of UConn, having lost only four games in college, Sue?
Yeah. Getting used to losing. I remember the first game we lost, first game of the season. We actually played the New York Liberty, and they had Teresa Weatherspoon and Becky Hammon at the time. We lost to them, and I'm in the locker room having a little bit of a fit, right? A little bit of a tantrum. I'm not used to this. And everybody's like, oh, where you guys want to go to dinner tonight? And it took me a second to understand that that was also part of pro sports. You got to kind of bob and weave and deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Caitlin Clark check out of last night's game, I think for the final time. She looked pissed, Sue. She looked livid. Yeah. You know, like she was like just barely slapping the hands of her coach and teammates. She looked really angry last night.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Let's not forget that she probably has arguably the most pressure that any, you know, women's basketball player has ever had coming into the WNBA. I mean, sometimes it feels like the weight of the WNBA is on her shoulders. That is both, like I said earlier, a compliment and warranted in a lot of ways. But also maybe a little bit unfair to put so much on her, and then to not play up to her abilities in this early part would be frustrating. You know, the thing is, it's you watch the games. She's not even really getting that many great looks. Again, some of that is the other team's defense. So credit. She's played two of the top defensive teams in the league. But some of that is figuring it out. And it takes time, too. Right. Like we see it in every sport. A lot of times you have these teams put together and people want to see it click right away. It always takes time.
Do you think the commentary is infused with a disrespectful tone talking about how good the opponents are that she's faced over the first two games, Sue? Like, You know, this is a professional sports league that's been around 28 years. There are some really great professionals playing in it. I'm wondering how you take that part of the conversation here.
That's definitely been the conversation. You know, there's been a couple of moments that have led to the narrative around, you know, Caitlin's greatness and it translating. And there's been some people that have, you know, basically put her at the top of the mountain right away. And I think that does feel disrespectful to current WNBA players. But at the end of the day, I mean, sometimes these conversations are good for sports. Like, you want people going back and forth, even though it can be hard for the athlete at times. I think it is good long-term for the sport. But now everybody's seeing the WNBA is obviously a legitimate professional league. I don't know what people expected. You know, Diana kind of touched on this. It's basically the adult grown woman part of this. People, you know, have been playing this game for a long time.
Yeah. And she took a lot of heat. You're talking to Diana Taurasi. By the way, you're mega cast, the two of you together, a lot of fun, Sue,
Thank you.
You're very welcome. She took a lot of heat for saying reality is coming. And kind of proven correct over the first two games. Again, this is just, it's a long league. We're marathoning. We're not sprinting. But I think she's kind of been proven correct.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the sad thing was just how it all played out, right? Having to have WNBA players, you know, myself as a former one, Diana as a current one, and a lot of others being pitted against Caitlin. I thought that was really unfortunate because that's not the reality. Nobody was questioning Caitlin's ability. Nobody was questioning Caitlin's popularity, what she's done for the sport. How could you? I think at the end of the day, it's just competitive athletes talking about what they've already been through. So that was kind of the unfortunate part of it. I don't think that, you know, saying a college player is going to have to adjust to a professional league is that crazy, you know, but it led to this conversation. And again, at the end of the day, the proof was always going to be in the pudding. There was just like that 3 weeks of agony where we had to kind of wait from when the college season ended to the start of the WNBA. We all had to wait, and all you could do was talk. And the narratives that got thrown around, like I said, I think it was really unfortunate. You know, especially for someone like Caitlin, like who wants to hear that these WNBA greats are saying this about her when that wasn't even really what was happening? It was just competition.
Right. She's also not she's not showing up disrespectfully in her own right. Right. I mean, like she's not pounding her chest and she's not, you know, saying, yeah, hope you enjoy your new flights, you know, like look at the planes you all have. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, she's not saying that, right?
No, not at all. No. I mean, you can't say enough about how she's handled all this. It's incredible. And again, I think the unfortunate part was it was going to all what? You know, whether Diana was right or the quote unquote new fans we keep hearing about all the time, whether they were right, it was all going to what? Fall on this kid in her home opener. So it all got, you know, trumped up. It got bigger than it was. But here we are. Now we get to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and Breonna Stewart even said last night after the game that she loved playing a packed house, full playoff atmosphere, which I imagine probably would not have happened in Indiana had they not, you know, drafted Caitlin Clark, right? Like, coming off of an awful year like that, it wouldn't have been a packed house, is what I'm essentially saying, you know. So
no.
Sue Bird here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's talk about the rest of the league here. Who do you think is we live in an aces world? Is that basically what we live in right now, Sue? What do you make of it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, back-to-back champs, they have pretty much everybody back, so you know, someone has to knock them off. That's always how it works. Chelsea Gray hasn't played yet. That is definitely something that I think everyone's keeping their eye on. She is a huge, important piece to that team. And then there's some other teams that I don't think we're going to see who they really are until halfway through the season. You know, just a reminder, something that's unique about the WNBA is how short the training camp is. So, you know, I already touched on this when it comes to Indiana, but it's really for every team that has new pieces, important pieces, it's going to take a second for these teams to click. And that's also where the aces have a little bit of an advantage. But yeah, like usual, it's going to come down to injuries, sadly, right? It's like which team stays the healthiest.
Right. Just like, again, any other association. So what was your welcome to the WNBA moment, Sue?
I actually just told this to Ramona Shelburne recently.
Okay.
So we played against the Sparks. Michael Cooper was the coach. And I noticed their point guard at the time, Nicky McCrimmon, was picking me up full court, basically the whole game, was just being like a little over the top about it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And she ripped me a couple of times, which, you know, any point guard knows, absolute nightmare to get ripped at half court. So come to find out, there's basically a bounty on my head. I guess before the game, he was like $50 for every time you rip Sue. So she was richer that night.
Is that happening to Caitlin Clark right now, do you think?
I don't think there's a monetary bounty.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I don't think people want to get crossed up and had a step stuff. Back three hit on them either. Yeah.
Yeah. A different time. No doubt about that. What
for sure.
Did you ever deliver a welcome to the NBA moment for a rookie? Were you on the business end of something like that? A delivering end, Sue?
I mean, you've probably seen me play. I'm not really the one to deliver those, but no, I think I've had a couple. I've had some people tell me some stories.
But what? Come on, what do you got?
No, the one I remember is actually Kelsey Plum, and it's not even that serious. But she was guarding me. It was a very like run of the mill routine play, but I was able to kind of break free from her, come off a down screen, hit a jumper, and I heard one of the vets on her team kind of yell out like, "No, you can't do that!" in almost like a slow motion moment. So I know I got Plum that one time.
Okay. And do you remember all four of your UConn losses? Do they stand
yeah,
out?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
It was only to two teams.
Go for it. Who are they?
I lost to Tennessee twice, and I lost to Notre Dame twice.
Isn't that amazing that you could lose so few times that you can actually remember who it was because it was only twice? I mean, that's pretty cool, Sue. That's pretty darn.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Just college, though. Don't ask me WNBA.
Well,
that's
no, I mean, no, it's a different, it's a different world, which is again just the general sense of this entire conversation, right mm-hmm. here. Okay, well, it's great to have you on, Sue. I would love to talk more as the season goes on, right here.
Let me know, and if you like the BTS show so much, come on anytime.
Will you please do that? And invite me
yeah.
on. I would love.
Absolutely.
I would love to do it. You know how to reach out to me, for sure.
Okay, great.
Suze, one question? Do you mind?
Suze,
I'm gonna hop in here. Why am I asking you? I'm gonna ask it anyway, right? Hey, Sue, who do you like? Who's starting hot that you've been really impressed with? Because I do feel like all the coverage is on Caitlin, but there are so many other players that are starting to streak, and we know how hard it is to get in and start with a new team. The chemistry is not there, etc. So, who is impressing you?
So I actually was at the Seattle Storm home opener. Obviously, I played there for forever. I'm now an owner. So this is a little bit of a plug, but Nneka Ogumike really impressed me. We have Jewel Lloyd and Skylar Diggins-Smith, also two guards that, you know, all stars for pretty much their entire career. They'll get going. But Nneka really impressed me, just like solid. The other teams I've watched, it's only been like most teams have only played one game, so it's pretty early. Arike Ngumbawale, somebody I always enjoy watching. She falls in my category of people I'd pay to watch, right? I feel like it's like a more of an elite group when you'd actually pay to watch them. She had a slow start in their first half, but was able to hit like a dagger three late, had a big fourth quarter. So she's always somebody to keep your eye on, but it's still pretty early.
You know, it's so funny. Rich, how much time do we have with some? So used to be in the other chair.
I'd ask Sue.
Yeah, because, you know.
Ask Sue. I don't know. I mean, go for it.
Right. Because I remember when I was a kid at ESPN and Shamika Holdsclaw was coming up. And I remember the excitement of having her there. I think she was the first woman to be on Slam, right? She was coming out of Tennessee. She was so hot and so exciting. We are selfish about the WNBA now because we have a 10-year-old Hooper. And so she's into it. We're going to the Aces game. You don't know this yet. We're going to the Aces game.
Good to know.
And we're going to see Caitlin next week.
Hold on a second. Are we going to Vegas? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're playing here on the 9th.
I'm sorry, Sue. This is a conversation we could have had earlier this morning. Sorry. Continue on.
That said, you know, we're selfish because we want to see the NBA, the WNBA grow right now because we have a little girl who's watching and leading. And so, you know, my concern with all the talk about the first question always being Caitlin is that we are ignoring so many other women that are coming up. But Will there be a point where you're just relieved that that's not the first question? Like, where's your level of frustration as one of the greats and with so many other women out there? So where is your level with frustration there as to that being the first question?
You know, I don't have frustration around that. I think that superstars do ignite leagues. They do carry them on. We've seen it on the men's side. We've seen it on the women's side as well. So it doesn't really frustrate me. It's her moment. She's coming off an amazing college season, drafted number one. It's not really, there's no way around it. Everybody wants to see how she's going to do. I think the way I've always looked at it, you know, as her popularity started to grow, particularly this last year, it felt like women's basketball in general, and then specifically the WNBA, was already on its way. The WNBA viewership and, you know, all the numbers that people look at, that was already on the rise probably over the last couple years. And to me, Caitlin was just this match that kind of ignited it and just made it bigger. So she accelerated everything quite a bit. Obviously, the viewership numbers show that. But things were already on a trajectory that was headed upwards. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for her in a lot of ways. The excitement, the eyeballs, I'm really thankful for that. And then once they're here, you know, you hope that they're going to see other talent. You know, I saw Pat McAfee was at the game last night. He's tweeting about the New York Liberty and Breanna Stewart and players like that. So it's just going to, she's going to bring eyeballs. It's going to expand everybody's mind. But like I said, it was already on the up and up. She just took it to another level faster.
And you guys, by the way, together was ahead of the curve on this. I mean, you guys were out there really kind of securing your spot here and branding it. We've seen the sweatshirt kind of blow up about, you know, about the girls wearing, you know, everyone watches women's hoops. But you guys were ahead of the curve. I have to give you a lot of credit. And you put your confidence there when maybe others didn't. And now you're reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
And just one last thing. I'm glad you mentioned Pat there, Sue, because he took a little bit of heat for talking WNBA on his show and saying, hey, we're kind of getting to see a whole bunch of people here, you know, and it's just like, well, welcome. We've been here for 28 years, and I totally understand that. But, you know, Caitlin Clark is obviously in Indiana, which is where he is. And it is an amazing moment. And it is a fun time to be involved with the WNBA and watch it and learn and discover the, would you say, grown women, adult women league? You know what I mean? It is. And that you're like, hey, welcome, even though you know, maybe could have come earlier, but we're here. And I think it's pretty cool. Very much so.
Yeah. Thank you. I secretly, it's like two things happen, right? You're simultaneously thrilled to have this quote unquote new fan base. And then at times they can be a little insulting with their lack of knowledge, you know, but they're just telling on themselves, right? Mm-hmm. With each comment, they just tell on themselves a little bit. So you can kind of chuckle. I do anyway. I think I give it a little chuckle and then I move on. It's all about growing the game.
Well, and I'm glad that you're here and hopefully of many times. And truly, I'm more than happy to be on BTS, the Bird Tarassi show. Anytime you invite me, I will be there.
All right.
Hold
okay,
me to
sounds
it.
Good.
Thanks again, Sue. Great that's to
cool.
chat with you.
That's
thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah, what a great invite.
I appreciate it very much. So yeah. That's Sue Bird here on the Rich Eisen show.
That would be so much fun. That'd be so great for Taylor to watch.
Oh, yeah.
All the girls out there to watch. Plus, those girls are ballers. That'd be so fun for you.
Right. I could go on and talk about how Taylor Eurostepped.
That was a great moment. It really was. We've had a good week with Cooper on yesterday.
I got up out of the out of my seat. Yeah. I damn near got a technical running on the floor.
Oh, word?
Yeah. She went to the line. She almost had an N1 after Eurostepping. I'm like, that's my girl.
We had a Eurostep. We had Cooper on, and Xander got a 30.6 out of 30
on his test.
That's a great week for us.
That's right. That's right. And the right wing is livid with us. All good. Listen, let's take a break. We've got the What's More Likely all teed up, right?
I'm ready.
And we also have phone calls. They're all lit, all six lines. I hate it when people call in and get busy signals, although I like it too.
So let's take some calls.
Okay, my God. I will. Let's go. We'll be right back right here on the Rich Eisen Show in a sec with your calls and Albert Breer in hour number three. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
First up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sidney Dean.
Great handle, somewhat of a trash talker, a little bit of a gym rat, but really hustles out on the floor.
That's right.
He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit, and he also tends to hustle in a negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel McGill, who played at UCLA, Marcus Johnson was in that movie, and then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
that's
wow.
All right, last one for you. He plays tons of positions, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School. Teen Wolf. Jay, what do you think about his abilities?
Teen Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard when he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
Still one of my favorite segments in the history of this show was that breakdown from Jay. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Now I feel silly asking a Caitlin Clark question straight out of the gate.
Why?
I don't know. Did she roll her eyes at me a little bit when I said that?
The reason why I asked it, I think she kind of took that extra breath.
Yeah,
like, oh boy,
yeah,
here we go.
I saw the breath.
Here we go.
I saw the breath. I'm like, okay.
Or maybe she's mad that you left out her five Olympic gold medals.
I didn't. I said she was a five-time Olympic gold medalist, four-time W. She's
all these.
I mean,
all these.
I don't think she took anything personally.
No, they just want to know that there was a WNBA.
Yeah, for 27 years. Yeah.
Sue Bird was putting in work.
Yeah,
she wants people to recognize that.
2002 first overall selection.
Yeah,
I think Stacey Dales went second overall the next year. I think.
Well, I can ask her on Monday.
Oh, is she booked?
She's literally moving her schedule around to be on, which is the coolest
thing. The neat thing is you can talk WNBA with her, and then she'll give you the latest scoop on what's going on with Kayla Williams in that building. Yeah, I saw her reporting the other day saying that there's a whole new energy in that building right now. It's unreal. It's great. Bears are going to go 17-0 right now. Speaking of that, it's time to play the win-loss game, everybody. All right, let's get somebody.
16-0, man.
I like it. Who are we going to go to first? Who do we get the other day? All right, let's start off right now with Darkside in Las Vegas. It's Darkside. What's Darkside's last name? Darkside Don, everybody. Darkside Don in Las Vegas is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Are you listening to us in Las Vegas right now, Darkside Don? Is that happening right now?
Always, Rich. You know, this ain't my first time calling. This ain't my first rodeo.
I got it. I like it. All right, it's time for the Las Vegas Raiders. The autumn wind is a pirate. Darkside Don. Well done, Jay Felly. This is the only music that can be played. Okay, ready? Win-loss game for Darkside Don in Las Vegas, Nevada. Look at me. I said home at the Chargers. I literally was about to say that. On the road at the Chargers. I don't mean to disrespect. What's up? What do you got?
That's never a disrespect. That's home, but it is what it is. No, that's a win.
That's a win at the Ravens.
That's a loss.
Wow, that's a tough start. Visiting the Harbaughs to start the season. Home for the Panthers.
That's a win.
Home for the Browns.
See, I got tripped up right here, so I'm going to go off a recency bias with how Deshaun looked as of late. So I'm going to say it's a win until further notice.
Until further notice. You're free to call back anytime you want, Darkside Don. 3-1 at the Broncos.
The Las Vegas Raiders have never lost to the Denver Broncos, and that continues.
Okay. Oh. You want to look that up, TJ? 4-1, home for the Steelers.
That's a loss.
At the Rams.
That's a loss.
Oh, boy. Now 4-3 after a two-game losing streak, home for the Chiefs.
Time to take our stadium back. The Raiders are kind of, you know, upset about the last Super Bowl thing, so that's a win. We need to get our stadium back.
Yeah, Max Crosby is not going to lose to the Chiefs after the Chiefs picked out confetti out of their hair in his stadium. That'll be an interesting one on October 27th. All right, so you got them 5-3 at the Bengals.
That's a loss.
5-4 coming off the bye at the Dolphins.
That's a loss.
5-5 home for the Broncos. Do I give you a win since you say they never lose?
The Las Vegas Raiders never lose to the Denver Broncos.
Okay, that's good. 6-5 at the Chiefs on a Friday for after Thanksgiving, Black Friday.
We split it with them. That's a loss.
All right. You're now 6-6 at the Buccaneers.
That's a loss.
Mm. Home for the Falcons on a Monday night.
That's a dub.
Home for the Jaguars.
That's a dub.
Do you go see Derek Carr?
That's a dub.
3-game win streak going to the final game, home for the Chargers.
Harbaugh gets his win against the Raiders. That's a loss.
Okay, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 8, Darkside Don.
And Rich, the Las Vegas Raiders are indeed 8-0 against the Denver Broncos.
How about that? Darkside Don in Las Vegas. Thanks for the call. 9-8.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so the last two games that we've played, win-loss games, diehard fans seeming really realistic.
Realistic, yeah. I like that.
Coop Eisen said 8-9 for the Patriots, although that I told him when I saw him yesterday after he came home from school, I'm like, I might be a little bit of the optimistic view of things. Hey, Brockman thinks they're in line for a first overall pick. And Darkside Don goes 9-8 right there. All right, let's do what's more likely here, and then we'll come back and maybe do a win-loss game before taking a break. So it's right in the middle of the show. We're halfway through. Are you ready for it, Suze?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, what do you have over there, Suze?
Hey, everybody, how you doing?
Hey,
what's up, Suze? Well,
you're doing it just like Brockman, huh?
I do listen in the car sometimes.
Did he write that down for you to start that way?
No, I was just planning on doing it, to be snarky.
I'm just wondering if he's just like wanted to make sure that the even in his absence, that sort of stuff continues.
Would it be funny if he had?
That's a respectful tip of the cap that
Thank you.
Had right there.
He's not just a guy, he's a co-host.
That's right.
All right, which team is more likely to be back picking in the top five in next year's NFL draft, the Commanders or the Panthers?
Who's more likely to be picking first overall, picking top five? Okay. Next year's draft again. I'll go the Panthers. I think the Commanders are going to have a season that threatens people. I don't know what that means, but I'll just say Jaden Daniels has some tools around him that a lot of people aren't talking about. Terry McLaurin and Brian Robinson Jr. with Jaden Daniels showing up the way that he can possibly perform based on last year's results at LSU with his Heisman Trophy and the way that he's showing up right now in shorts at a rookie camp. I don't think the Commanders are picking top five, so I'd take the Panthers right there.
All right, continuing with the theme of who's more likely. Who's the more likely Super Bowl team to start 1-2 or worse, Chiefs or Niners?
He just wants to just mix this thing up.
He's a mixer.
So the Chiefs have those two games at home against the Ravens and Bengals, and then they have the Falcons.
Did you see somebody laminated this? Somebody actually laminated
this. It's not just somebody. It's not just somebody.
Is it co-host TJ?
It's co-host TJ Jefferson.
Oh, no. Co-host TJ.
Well, I mean, in this case, I'm the PA. I was the PA.
No, you're not.
No, you weren't. You were an executive who decided to do something special.
I'm not a senior producer.
You volunteered to do it, and I appreciate it. This is great now because you can even hear it on the radio.
You did volunteer.
Although, I freaked you out this morning because I didn't tell you.
Yeah, he took all my stuff.
Amazing audio there.
I got in, and Rich was like, where's all my stuff?
Jets at home, at Minnesota, at the Rams. I will go, how am I going here? I'll go with the team that's got two on the road, even though I know the Niners fans will get very upset with me for saying that they don't lose against the Rams and SoFi, I guess, unless it's an NFC championship game.
Rich, don't you know at this point, no matter what you say, somebody's going to get upset?
Really?
So, you know, what can you do?
I don't know, but I think they beat the Jets and they win at Minnesota, so I'll just really upset the Kansas City Chiefs fans and say it's them.
Remember when you upset them like 2 years ago?
I know.
They came for you, dog.
I know.
I don't want to see that happen again.
Well, in the same way that Atlanta Falcons fans say that Michael Penix's drafting is going to light a fire underneath Kirk Cousins, as if they never thought that Kirk Cousins needed a fire lit underneath him after they signed him a four-year, $180 million deal. They only thought that fire needed to be lit until it was time to spin the draft choice in proper direction. In that same way, I think I lit a fire under the Chiefs.
Because they needed that.
And they've won two Super Bowls in a row ever since I said the Raiders would win the division.
These are facts.
So,
hey.
Correct.
You know.
What else?
So is that like Andy Reid, you're welcome? Is that like your little like?
Yes, it is.
Look, he doesn't like to toot his own horn. Seems.
Hey, even after I did all that, the Chiefs invited me to host an event for them at the NFL draft
that
in Kansas
true.
City.
So there were no real hard feelings.
That jersey that's over Jay Felly's shoulder. That's a gift from them.
They gave you confetti.
That's confetti,
man.
At the bottom right there. That's confetti that was on the field after Super Bowl 57.
They put a lot of thought in it.
Exactly. Everything's good.
And it's here and not in your home.
That's right, because you did not want it in our house.
Well,
like
wrong.
Most everything that's hanging on a wall here,
that's
it's
right.
Due to you.
You need
saying,
a man
you know
cave,
where
Rich.
That would look better?
If you're
not here.
In the studio.
That's right.
I just said you need a man cave.
Oh, that's Susie Eisenhuffen.
But you
right,
have
Charles.
A man cave. This is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
I'm
but
very
we
happy.
We allow women, and we're very happy.
What else
have.
Does Chris have on that piece of paper, Suze? What else we got?
Here's some mixing. What's more likely to be the higher total? Jets primetime wins or Patriots total wins?
Ooh.
Such a New England
trolling from Northern Florida, Chris Brockman. So the Jets nationally televised games. Primetime wins, which means London is not part of it. Okay. So the Jets have all these colored rectangles on there. They got a Monday night at San Francisco. That ain't one. Okay. So beating New England on a Thursday night, that's one. Then beating Buffalo on a Monday night, that's going to be a tough one. I can't believe they're playing Buffalo on a Monday night after coming back from London. Then they're at Pittsburgh on a Sunday.
That's
they've
a
got
loss.
Houston.
That's a loss.
They got a Houston. I think they beat Indianapolis at home on a Sunday night. That's two. I'll give them a third. I don't know which one it's going to be. But I think the Patriots will win more than three games. So I'll give them Patriots total wins, but just by a smidge. Okay. Nice one. What else, Suze? I'll go
they
Patriots.
They do play each other in week one on Sunday Night Football. Who's more likely to win a playoff game this season, the Rams or the Lions?
Oh, gosh. He always likes putting on the plate something where I can say both to that I'm not allowed to because of the construct right. of this endeavor.
He's very good at this.
I know. He knows how much I love the Lions, but he also knows that Blake Corum is number one in my heart.
Blocky.
I don't know. What is he in the program? What number did he choose there?
Let me peep that.
Right, I don't know if that's already been assigned or anything like that. Oh, my God. Team to win a playoff game this season. I'll go with the Lions because I think they're more likely to win their division. How does that sound?
Okay.
Damn it.
Man,
that's a tough one. Did you just go against Kara's
gonna be very upset with you.
And Kara?
I didn't go against him. It's called more likely.
Right.
But the idea is I think both of them are going to win a playoff game. So everybody just needs to back off.
It looks like Blake Corum has the number of the greatest running back of all time in the NFL history.
22?
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. That's great.
And I'm glad you knew. The correct
well, number. He has the most yards of all time, and he's your favorite.
Well, you know.
So I mean, you put together the numbers and me knowing you nice. As a co-host.
And he's a friend of the show.
That's true. Damn it. What else, Suze?
Which team that finished last in their division is more likely to make the 2024 playoffs?
Playoffs.
The Chargers
playoffs.
Or Bears?
Come on. Get out of here with this noise.
You sounded like Al there. Come on, get out of here with this. That sounded so much like Al Michaels.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
The Los Angeles Chargers, coached by Jim Harbaugh, will find out that the day of the playoffs is today. It's going to happen. Please. The Chargers are 100%. When we did the schedule release show, I was late. To the mix, they'd already spoken to both Mike Robb and Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. And when they give an option, say, hey, which team is most likely to go worst to first in the NFL this year, now that we know the schedule? And, of course, one of them chose the Chargers. One of them chose the Bears. Well, what are you going to do, choose the Patriots? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
The Patriots are suddenly going to go from third overall on the clock to beating the Bills for the AFC East? Right, so I'm not allowed to choose either one of those two. I had to choose another one, and I declined. I said, I'm not going to do it.
I don't think that's how the game works. So.
But it does when, you know, when you turn the lights on in a network, you know?
Employee number one.
So
I get why you don't
said
look
no.
at this as
so, co-host. But in this case, though, even though I did help turn the lights on here, I'll take the Chargers. You know, what else?
What's more likely, Steelers finish with a winning record or Falcons win the NFC South?
The Steelers have a winning record. How dare he put me in a wedge in between me and Mike Tomlin? How dare he do that?
Bald bastard.
Thank you. Yeah, the NFC South, I think, the Falcons are in good shape to win it. But there's still my boy Baker. Down there in Tampa Bay. Sure. Let's not forget about them. And by the way, their schedule, they have to be really happy about their schedule. Tampa begins the season with three of their first four games at home. And their bye is week 11. And they have only one trip to the West Coast. One. And that's not till they take on the Chargers in week 15. That's it. San Francisco comes to their house. Vegas comes to their house. You know, that's a really nice schedule for them. So let's not sleep on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year because they also they are Todd Bowles is getting it done, and Jason Light, man, signed a ton of players back when everybody thought that wouldn't be possible. Y'all want more over there, Suze?
I got one more.
Okay.
Is there a drop for one more?
Oh, you want the drop? Way to give Felly that sort of challenge.
I love Felly.
All right, we'll get one.
But not as much as George Clooney, so go ahead. What else? See, I put a hitch in her giddy up over there.
Just mentioning the Cloons?
Okay, go ahead.
Who's more likely to have the higher average salary in 2025, Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy?
Oh, it's going to be Dak Prescott. Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be Dak Prescott.
I feel like he kind of like absolutely.
Yeah, well that also but when before Chris left for the week, we were talking about how Purdy is going to wind up the number one paid quarterback in the NFL, and I just don't think he will be by the end of the day, because Dak, when he becomes the highest paid player in the NFL at the quarterback position, it will be because Dallas does it so damn late. It'll be longer than anything else it takes for anybody else to sign their guy. So it might be one of those things where, you remember how Jalen Hurts was the highest paid quarterback in the league for 24 hours? Yeah. Amon Ross St. Brown was the highest paid receiver in the league for 24 hours. I think that's what will happen. But it'll be Dak over Brock. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. There's one phone line open. We'll play more of the win-loss game with some and whatever else you would like to talk about. Albert Breer in hour number three to talk about a lot of these subject matters we just covered on What's More Likely.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You know what's crazy is what sets fans off sometimes are the throwback uniforms. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got an opinion on them. They're either throwbacks or throwouts, right? And I don't know what to make of the Giants, who announced that this is their 100th season celebration. Twice in this season, they're going to wear these.
Oh my goodness!
Uniforms,
the Montreal Canadiens.
It looks just like the Canadiens. People also can't get past the. The khaki tan pants. Obviously, you know, I pick up on the helmet.
Yeah.
It's like the Wolverine helmet. Somebody said something, called it a Delaware blue hen helmet. Let me just say something to those people. What's the matter with you? I'm aware the Delaware blue hens wear a similar helmet, but, you know, the reason why Michigan's fight song is Champions of the West is because when Michigan started playing football and doing that, it was essentially the western part of the United States. As a matter of fact, the Big Ten's original conference title was the Western Conference.
Okay.
You know, because there was some purchase out of Louisiana that had just happened.
I've heard of it.
At any rate, I don't know why I went down that sort of history lesson.
Well, because
back.
You get very, you know, touchy when anybody,
not anymore. I should be living my best life. I should let all that stuff roll off my back, but I don't know what to make of those. It does look like the Canadiens, doesn't
it? Yeah. I don't know if you were about to say that, but it just came right to me.
No, it's true, because it does look like a sweater. It looks like a hockey sweater more than anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the socks.
How many games are you going to wear this?
Two, apparently.
Too many.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I think it's a blend of different eras of the team's garb.
I get that. I mean, look, I'm not a Giants fan, but if you're paying, you know, homage to teams of the past, I guess
why Saquon didn't want any part of it.
Oh, wow. Get out of there. His thighs would look huge in those pants.
Back on our Rich Eisen show here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When I first moved out here to Los Angeles, and Suze had already been here for a few years, being from New York and always made fun of the late arriving crowd for Dodger games, sports games in general out here in Los Angeles, late arriving crowd, until I started going to games here in Los Angeles. And I started arriving late as well.
By no fault of your own.
And then early as well. Always made fun of, you know, the shot whenever you see the Gibson home run in game one of the 88 World Series and the NBC cameras widen out to show the arc of the ball leaving the stadium, you could see the taillights of cars getting out of Dodger Stadium. Yeah, always regret, made fun of them.
They regret that.
Until I moved to Los Angeles and became one of them. And then so it was our kids frequently are like, we can't go. And it's just like, yes, we can. We have to. Like, they're a push-pull of parenting as well as just for us. Like, we don't want to be stuck in traffic. Just can't. So I bring all of this up as to say there was a very early arriving crowd in Los Angeles last night for last night's Reds-Dodgers game. Why? Is it because they want to see Ellie De La Cruz, perhaps the most exciting player in Major League Baseball who we've been talking about since he started showing up and being a dynamic player, wound up stealing four bases last night and attempting a fifth. He got caught stealing after stealing four bases. I love it.
He's amazing.
No, it was because it was Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night.
Oh, yeah, it was. Absolutely.
There it is. Home
That's
and away.
That's the reason to go early.
Home and away. And, man, if only the Dodgers would told everybody who shows up gets one. But it was just the first 40,000. So everybody went to the game early to get an Ohtani bobblehead doll. 53,000 attended. That means 13,000 people showed up early for no reason.
Yes, and one of them was Cooper's best friend, Ryan's little brother, Sawyer.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And they showed up there.
Was Kevin Bacon involved in that name? My gosh, that was quite a connection.
Well, there are 6 degrees of the story.
Yes, correct. Okay. Nice.
And this poor little boy
got
there too late for the bobblehead and cried. Dodgers.
Oh, God, look at you.
Do that.
Oh, no.
You have to, as a mom,
you know
I would
what?
Say you have to have bobbleheads for everybody.
You do.
So I want like the Dodgers, Lon Rosen, are you watching?
Oh, look at you. Name checking people.
There's got to be another Shohei bobblehead night. You can't turn off all those young kids who showed up there early and maybe their dad had to go into his wallet and dig deep and pay somebody off to get a bobblehead.
Oh, my God. How about this, though? Because I'm sure that Cooper's best friend Ryan's younger brother Sawyer
there are four boys
is
in that
not
family.
Is not the only youngster who might have been left bobbleheadless last night. So maybe, just maybe, you know, for everybody, the kids, the traffic pattern in the area.
That's it.
Okay, for everybody, just you know, what's another 13,000 more bobbleheads?
You have to have Shohei for everybody.
Hello.
You can also go. You can go on eBay to get one,
but not everybody can afford
look
that.
At
I
this.
Mean, the whole point.
Look
that's
at this.
Ridiculous.
So, $380 bucks.
Wow. Well, Michael got a steal, but I have to say
condition
that
new $530.
Oh my
condition
goodness!
New, I would hope so.
But Dodgers, why would you do that?
Look at this.
That's not right.
Plus, it's just like
that's not right.
Sawyer would have had it for nothing.
But that's not right.
But like to go what? Then sell the bobblehead doll?
No, it's not right to have 40,000 when there's 53,000 that go into Chavez Ravine.
That's
not right.
By the way, I remember someone's trying to sell it for $5,000.
Oh my goodness.
I'm cool with it.
No bids. Not a shocker.
I'm cool with it.
What is Josfra's? Put that book one more time here. What is Josfra 578's malfunction?
Hey, Rich, you never know. Somebody could pay it.
$5,000?
You know?
Get out of here.
You know, Coop wants to go to Bark in the Park. Man, he's just been pushing me to buy tickets to Bark in the Park. And
to bring
said,
the dogs?
Absolutely no way.
Right.
We're not going to Bark in the Park. Not early, not late, not in the middle.
What does that have to do with bobblehead night?
Nothing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was confused. I was
trying to make the connection here. Like,
it's a Dodgers
is Kevin
game.
Bacon
it's
involved?
It's a Dodgers game.
Maybe
no,
she's like, listen, I'd rather pay for a bobblehead than take you to...
That is just absolutely nutty right there. You know what's kind of crazy? I remember going to Yankee Stadium as a kid on bat day. Mm-hmm. They used to hand out Major League Baseball.
I remember
real
you telling me this
bats that to was people in the Bronx, New York.
Such a bad idea.
Hey, come to the game and we will hand you arguably a lethal weapon.
There's no argument about it.
Dude, and they were real bats. They weren't like those little mini
like the
ones.
Mini bats.
They gave
still
you
do
a
damage.
Real freaking baseball bat in
and
the
by
70s.
By the way, here's three beers.
To kids. They gave the kids beers.
I do remember those little ones when we would go to Fenway Park and hand out those little ones.
Still mess you up.
And it was just
those are dangerous.
But the first, and it was the first 10,000 fans got a real bat.
You're giving me the same bat that Chris Chambliss is going
to
use?
Yeah, to try and get to home plate after beating the Royals. That's gone. Howard Cosell's call. Never forget that as a kid. 1976. I'm 7 years old. That's gone. And then I'm sitting there going, what the hell is happening out there on the field? He needed bat day.
It's like the baseball furies from the Warriors out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. Use your platform for good.
Which is what?
Demand that the Dodgers have
13,000 more?
A makeup Ohtani day.
Do you know what they should tell Ohtani? Listen, can you just... Defer another $50,000.
No,
the same people will be late.
And then we'll take that money and we'll make 13,000 more bobblehead dolls. 5,000, the chutzpah to say, I'm going to go and put $5,000 out there. Somebody's going to get a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead.
That's how you negotiate, Rich. You set your price high and then you work down a little bit.
Can you make a bid or is it only a buy it now price?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know. You can go on eBay right now. Just don't buy it. That's all I ask you. Don't buy it. Don't buy it now. Don't buy it ever.
I don't want it.
Oh, my God. By the way, Scotty Scheffler, as we go off the air in hour number two, has just birdied again. He is 8 under par.
Unbelievable.
On the tournament, and he has birdied 3 of his last 5 holes. And he was in lockup for an hour and a half this morning.
Maybe that's the key to success.
This might turn out to be the wildest day in the history of the PGA Championship or any open tournament. This guy is unreal. Man.
Oh, if you win, can I ask Nance to come back on?
You can reach out to Jim anytime you
want. All I think about.
I'm just wondering if there's some of these players in the tournament, they'll be like,
I'm getting arrested.
Can we not get released can we not let him be released on his own? How about our recognizance?
if he wins, I'm getting locked up the next tournament if I'm a golfer.
Oh, my word. Albert Breer is joining us top of hour number 3 here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know what? Lots to talk about with him coming up in just an hour. And let's just say this too, which I was going to say, but I only need 10 seconds for the radio audience too, is making fun of this too. The reason what happened is beyond not funny. There are probably some people in the police department, in City Hall there, that with their figurative hair on fire. And then there's the matter of somebody who, you know, got a fatal accident.
Yeah, that's the bigger
story. I already saw somebody was walking around the grounds at Valhalla Golf Club with a T-shirt with his mugshot on it already.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. People work fast. They really do.
I already saw that.
That's ridiculous.
And by the way, I mean, Xander Schauffele is about to, he's going to tee off in 45 minutes. He's only one shot ahead. But I believe Morikawa is now 9 under as well.
Colin.
Okay, so there's going to be lots to talk about. Suze is already on the Monday show. There's a third hour to go. I know it's your show on Monday and Tuesday.
No, I'm here to support you. I'm dead serious. I've got my PGA golf stuff up and ready. My golf stuff.
What do you mean? What's your golf stuff?
My golf stuff.
Hold on. What did you say, Hoskins? What did you say?
My golf stuff.
By the way, I don't know if Jofsro 578 is listening to our show. He's dropped the price to $3,000. He's still trying to put the bait in the water.
I am not mad at him. No bids.
Let's contact him. We're going to keep an eye on the Valhalla leaderboard and Joffs for a 578's bid.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.